Well, this month, Americans will spend almost $450 billion on gifts. And this spending means increased opportunities for crooks to take advantage of us when we're out there with our holiday cheer. And as some of you know, I'm sure, it can turn your season, your shopping season, into a credit fraud nightmare. And during this fraud season, people are ripped off to the tune of, now this is every minute, think about this, every minute, $109,000 every minute people are being ripped off. That's an amazing figure. Janet Jenkins, administrator of the Bureau of Consumer Protection in our Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, with us now to talk about some of these issues, and I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments as we move along today. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@WPR.org. talk@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. And Janet, welcome back. Nice to have you with us again.
Always a pleasure, Larry.
Well, I tell you what, I've done a little Christmas shopping, and I do a little online, and I do a little. I kind of like to go to our local businesses, because I know the local businesses, and if I've got a problem, I can come back to them. But I occasionally buy something online. I bought something for my wife this year for Christmas online. But what should we be doing if we're purchasing things online? Are there some things we ought to be kind of watching out for?
There are a number of them. First of all, we all ought to make sure we have up-to-date and good firewalls and virus protections so that someone can't hack into our computer while we're shopping. We also need to know and make certain that we know who we're dealing with. Anybody can create a website and make it appear like it's someone else's website, you know, a store that you know. So, you know, if you get an email or if you get a pop-up, don't click on the link there. Use your browser to put the name of the store in that you're looking for and go directly to the store. That way you have more of a certainty that you're actually dealing with that store. Know what it is you're buying. There are any number of websites where they'll say new and used. And while used can be fine, it can be used to the point of uselessness. So we need to be careful about things like that. Check shipping charges.
Yeah.
Check whether there's any other charges that come with the price. So that you know the total you're going to have to pay before you push that final submit button. Pay by credit card if you can. Never use cash and don't use your debit card. And the reason I suggest that is that federal law limits liability when credit cards are used fraudulently to a maximum of $50. And many credit card companies have zero liability in the case of fraud. So it's much safer to simply use your credit card. Also, you need to check out and make sure you look on the website to see what the refund or return policy is.
Yeah.
There's no law in Wisconsin that governs refund or return policies. So theoretically, there could be a merchant that has a you can't get any refund and you can't return it policy, and that is perfectly legal. So check out to make sure you know what that is. So those are some of the very, you know, basic kinds of things people should think about when shopping online.
Yeah, we just my wife ordered something online, a light for an outdoor light. It came yesterday and we opened it up. And didn't even take it out of the package. We could see it was broken. And that store has a return policy. So it's going back today, if I'm not mistaken. Well, you mentioned used. What about you hear refurbished closeout, does that trigger anything for you?
It does. I mean, again, those words can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. You know, I think the, you know, the sort of the standard definition of refurbished is that it's made good or better again. But you don't know to what standard. You don't know if it's as good as new. So you have to be careful. And in those situations, you know, if there's a contact information or if there's a phone number, you really want to call and make certain that you understand the condition of whatever it is you're buying so that you get what you want and not something that you can't use.
And that's different, of course, from closeout. What is it that triggers something?
Well, closeout, again, it can mean a number of things, but we do have laws in Wisconsin dealing with advertising that says store closing or going out of business. And essentially, they have to be true.
Yeah.
You can't say that you're going out of business when, in fact, you're not going out of business. Just recently, we had a question about an ad where the ad said that it was one of a chain of stores, and it said it had going out of business sale, but it was a store in a different state that was closing, not the store for which the ad was made in Wisconsin. So, you know, that's an issue, and we had to have the business promptly changed its ad. So, you know, comparison shop. You know, there are many websites out there that permit people to comparison shop. So, you know, check the prices several places. And, you know, again, we say this every time, but if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Well, Ray in Wausau has a question for you, Janet. So let's go there. Hi, Ray. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hello. Can't hear you very well, but the my question is I'm wondering why in Wisconsin, if you have a problem that requires some kind of a consumer resolution, you have to submit your question in writing and rather than call up and talk about it. And I'm comparing it to Georgia, where I came from. And in Georgia, they had folks that were right on it, and they were quite helpful. And, of course, the taxes are a whole lot less in Georgia. So that's my question. I'm going to hang up and then just listen to the answer on the radio.
Well, we ask for written consumer complaints to be sure we have all of the information. In most instances, we'll need documentation to accompany the complaint. You know, if there's a billing error or if there's a misrepresentation in an advertisement. And so we want to make sure that we have the information in writing to, one, to get all of it, and two, to make sure that we have it correctly. Because, you know, people's memories don't last for very long in terms of all the details. We get 15,000 written complaints a year. And so it's just better for us and for consumers to put the complaint in writing. It doesn't have to be extensive. You can take 10 minutes to fill out the form. But it really does help us, and in the long run, it does help consumers.
And you can call.
You can call. And you can get some immediate information, but if you want to file a complaint,
then you have to write.
Then we ask that it be in writing.
And what's that number to call, by the way?
1-800-422-7128.
Okay, 800-422-7128. Let's turn to Wanda. And by the way, in Georgia, the taxes, their state taxes may be a little smaller, but take a look at some of their taxes for their license plates, for their cars and things like that. You probably find that a little higher than Wisconsin. Wanda in Forest Junction, your turn. Hi, Wanda.
Hi, guys. Hey, when she was describing at the very beginning the difference between using a credit card and a debit card.
Yes.
When she was giving a description of the limited liabilities, sometimes no liabilities, Was she describing the debit card versus the credit card?
I was describing the credit card. It those limited liability laws do not apply to credit cards, to debit cards.
To debit cards.
Or directly, from direct withdrawals from your bank account. So, always try to use the credit card.
Okay, I have another one, too. I ran across a place once that said going out of business, only to find out afterwards they were just moving two doors down. You might want to keep an eye on that. Also, when you're traveling, there's a lot of traveling during Christmas, and you use your credit card for motels, and you get this key card for your room. Don't give that back to the desk. In fact, keep it. There's no penalty or anything for keeping it because all of your vital information is on that key card, your credit card information and everything. It's best to keep it and destroy it.
Good advice. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, so that's something I hadn't heard that.
I hadn't either. But I'm certainly going to check into it. And
maybe next time find out some more about that and report back on that. That is a very interesting observation. And it may be maybe one that applies to some but not others. You never know. Joe in Franklin, we're on to you now. Hi, Joe.
Hi, good morning. Just following up on a liability question. $50 liability, you've given your credit card number to a fraudulent merchant. If he were to use your credit card to make purchases, is it $50 per purchase or a one-time $50 liability?
If it's an instance of a continuing fraud, it's a $50 for the entire set of circumstances. It's not okay. Per item.
There you go.
I mean, if he makes purchases from different merchants using your credit card.
Right. It's still part of the same same fraud. So it's the $50.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Visiting today with Jana Jenkins, Administrator of the Bureau of Consumer Protection in our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. She'll be with us right up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here talking on consumer protection issues with Jana Jenkins, Administrator of the Bureau of Consumer Protection in our Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Jana, we had someone call and say, watch out for hotel room key cards that are routinely encoded with personal information, which can be harvested by thieves. Several people have called, and I went online to Snopes.com, which takes a look at these kinds of things, and they say, no, that is an urban legend. So
that's good to know. I mean, I wasn't aware of it, the truth either way. So, but it is a good indication that, when we hear these things, like there are always, every now and then we learn that somebody's going to put out a phone book of cell phone numbers.
Yeah.
That's another or urban legend, at least until this point. So you might want to go online into Snopes.com or to other websites and just check out what is being said and whether the scams are actually happening or not.
Let's go to Judy in Lodi right now. Judy, hello.
Hey, how are you today?
Great. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Okay. I live in a low-income apartment building, and it's 16 units, and I think about 12 people were given new refrigerators. I got the paperwork where the news was on. Mine is from 06, but it's a Whirlpool, and the township is the ones that have given it to everybody, that got a new one. I'm on disability, but this thing, from the day I've gotten it, it runs 24/7. I cannot get it to stop. I open the door for 1 second, and it'll start up again. And during the night, it's running, all the time. And I don't know what to do. I called the person that they purchased it from. It's an appliance store here in town. And he wanted to come over, but he was going to charge me to come and see what the problem was.
So you're wondering what to do next. What is your next step?
Well, not only that, I mean, I don't have a computer. I don't have access to one, so I can't go and check to see if there was a recall on it.
And you're saying that your municipality paid for it?
Yeah, they did.
All right.
And your municipality is your landlord?
No, the landlord is a management company out of Madison.
Okay.
And I've contacted both. I've got a sheet here. I was a paralegal many years ago, so I know to write things down. I've got more papers here than you probably have. I keep every little scrap on every appliance, and it just makes me very upset that they, you know, give you something, but they don't. The warranty expired in 07.
Yeah. All right. Janet, what do you do?
Well, I don't really know that there's a whole lot you can do. I think that you should, you know, continue to, you know, give your, your common council member and the mayor or village president a call and, you know, try to say this is, you know, this is really an issue. Do you pay utilities?
Yes, I pay my electric. The only thing we don't pay is for heat.
Okay. So, I mean, to have a refrigerator running all the time is costing you money. On the other hand, I don't know of any law that entitles you to a certain kind or quality of refrigerator.
Yeah.
But you might as well try and be the squeaky wheel with your with Lodi and see what satisfaction you might be able to get.
I would go back through my representative, my council representative, whoever is representing your district where you live in Lodi, and phone that he or she up. More than once, perhaps, if need be.
Well, and I would think they would be interested because if they paid someone for this,
right.
They aren't going to like the fact that they may not have received what they thought they were going to get.
Yeah, there you go. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call, Judy. Sarah in Richmond, Illinois, we're turning to you next. Sarah, hello.
Hi, thank you. Wonderful show as always.
Thanks.
When I go online and buy anything, I always look for a store that offers PayPal, and I always buy it through PayPal, through the PayPal account, so I'm not giving out my credit card because I don't actually have a credit card. I only own a debit card. And I always feel safer. I think they have a fraud policy with the PayPal, and that way I'm not giving anything out, and everything is safe within the PayPal account. And I'm wondering, am I setting myself up for with a false sense of security, or am I doing things a little bit better by using the PayPal account only?
That's a good question, but one that's really impossible to answer. It may provide the security that you seek. Individual websites may provide the security that you seek. But again, anything can. Any website can be hacked into, so you may or may not actually be safer. I, like you, use PayPal when it's available, but that's not always the case. Another option is to, you know, scrutinize what the privacy policy and what the security is for any particular website. And again, you know, if you're dealing with a reputable merchant, my guess is that its website is going to be as secure as any, you know, as PayPal's or anyone else's.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you. Janet in Eau Claire, it's your turn. Hi, Janet.
Hi there. I was just calling because I wanted yesterday my mom, who's 82, but she's very lucid, very smart. I was so surprised. She came from, you know, just
a hair's breadth from losing a substantial amount of money yesterday through Western Union, because she was contacted in the morning from someone who was allegedly her grandson. And he needed the money. He got in a car accident. He needed the money. And, you know, it's the same kind of old story. I was just, again, surprised, though, that my mom kind of hadn't heard about this. And at the very end, we were able to stop it. But I just thought maybe you could just get a warning out there to everyone, especially since it is around.
Yeah, we talked about this another time when you were on, but it certainly bears repeating, Janet.
Right. And, you know, it's a perpetual scam where it doesn't necessarily have to be grandchildren, but it often is. Someone calls up a grandparent. The caller pretends they're a grandchild. Sometimes they pretend they're a lawyer for the grandchild and the grandchild's in jail. I mean, there's all sorts of stories that they make up, but the bottom line is that they always want money, and they want you to send it, you know, like right now. And that fact that they want you to send it right now should be a red flag whenever you're dealing with anyone, because, you know, it's probably, if it were true, it probably isn't going to make any difference to your grandchild if you wait a half an hour, you know, and check it out. You know, call the grandchild's parents and ask if, you know, they've heard from them. Don't fall for the line of, well, Grandma, please don't tell my parents this. Yes?
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, I gave my mom would not, the only reason why I caught this is because I had to take her down to Western Union, and then she would not give me any information. When I finally found out the information, it's her money. There's really nothing I could do. But she said it was for a friend, so I didn't say anything. When I found out a little later, it was because what they did is they had to call back, and she had to give them a certain number from Western Union for them to collect the money. At that point, my mom and I got in
yes,
almost a fist fight, because I'm like, Mom, okay, can you just tell me who the person is? She said it was my grandson, and I knew for a fact it couldn't have been. It was my sister's brother, and there's no way it could have happened. But the thing that kept surprising me is that I gave her all those arguments. She just wouldn't listen till the very end.
Well, you know, we publicize the grandparent scam multiple times a year, trying to make people aware of it, and we will continue to do that.
I know everyone. I thought everyone kind of knew about it, but yeah, this is just for pretty much for you.
Yeah, well, it's good to mention it again, Janet, and thanks for calling, and also thanks for being strong enough to sort of battle with your mom about that. I'm sure she appreciates it.
Because it was very hard for me, because she was so totally, what are you doing? I have to get this money to him. And I kept saying, Mom, I'm 99% sure that this is a ripoff. And because she couldn't read the one number, and I wouldn't give it to her, we were able to get all of her money back.
Well, I'm glad of that. And hopefully your mom has now learned.
All right. Thank you very much, Janet, for your call. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's a good reminder. Very good reminder. Dave in West Salem, on to you now. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Thank you. Janet, I'm calling. We had a situation in our home where some items were lost, and there had been a young man in the home. And the police had indicated to us that they thought this young man had been taking items to a pawn shop. And when dealing with the police and the pawn shop, the owner or the manager said, well, I can't allow you or my wife to look at the items to see if, you know, your property's there. I can let the policeman do it. And the policeman said, I have the description. I have no idea what this is, you know, what I'd be looking for. And so it was this kind of conundrum, you know, what do we do? And I just wondered what the law was dealing with something like that.
Oh.
I'm not really certain. It seems to me that there ought to be a way that you can look at the items. I understand what the pawn shop owner is concerned about, that you'll see something and you'll say it's yours when it isn't. But, you know, perhaps if the police are with you, that you can look at them together. And or have you described them to the pawn shop owner?
Yeah, my wife had filled out information about it and describing it in size. And what we were told was that they had several items they thought it could be, but the policeman would have to pick out which one it was. And it made very little sense that way.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. I honestly don't know if there's a law or what the law says on that. If you want to contact me at Janet Jenkins or janet.jenkins@wisconsin.gov, so if you have email, and I'll take a look at and see what I can find, and I'll email you the answer.
So it's Janet
.jenkins@wisconsin.gov.
Okay. Well, thank you. My wife is an old friend of yours, so I will tell her.
Right. Who is that?
Mary Geske.
Oh, yes. Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
And thank you very much for calling, Dave. Appreciate your call. Well, look into that. Sam in Little Chute, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi. See, I just wanted to say that I was looking for a truck on Craigslist, and I found a real good deal on one. And there was no phone number, just an email. And when I tried to email, I got this canned response about send the money through PayPal, and my son died in Iraq. And all of a sudden, that ad was gone. And then they did the same thing the same day for a 2002 Dodge. No phone number, just email. And also, a week later, a Bobcat I was looking for, the same thing. My son died in Iraq, send the money through PayPal, and I didn't reply, but I kept getting responses back. The last one was I moved to Canada, then I moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and all of a sudden, as soon as I tried to look it up through Craigslist to notify them, they pulled the ads off the Craigslist. So it was like three of them within a week. All probably from the same person, but different vehicles, and one of them was a farm implement, you know, a Bobcat. So
yeah.
I just wanted you to be aware about that.
Well, I'm really glad that you brought that up, Sam, because one has to be particularly careful when dealing with, you know, entities like Craigslist, Facebook, etc. Not because they aren't legitimate, but people who deal on them are not always legitimate. And so, you know, you don't have any of the same protections like, you know, Boston Store is Boston Store, and you get to their website and you know who they are, and et cetera. So you really do have to be particularly careful. And, you know, never give any money or send any money to someone. You ought to meet someplace and, you know, exchange money for the item, or that may be the last you see of your money. So just be mindful that there are legitimate sales on Craigslist, but you need to be very careful.
Yeah, and thanks for bringing that to our attention, Sam. Appreciate it very much. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234 with your question or comment. I'm getting some good ones here, as always. Mike in Viroqua, you're next. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm attending Network Systems Administration training here in Western, and one of the first things that we talked about in security in my networking class is when you're going to a website, you always type it in, like you mentioned, and when you're doing transactions, you want to look in the address bar in front of the www, instead of HTTP, you want to see HTTPS.
That's right.
It's a secure transfer protocol, because that means that anything you send is going to be encrypted, which means if they do intercept your information, they're not going to get anything out of it.
Right, and thank you for bringing that up. That is absolutely true. So look for the S at the end, which stands for secure website.
Sometimes they have a lock symbol, too, don't they?
Sometimes they have a lock symbol. Sometimes there's a symbol that they're protected by a particular type of software or software company. But you do want to know, with whom you're really dealing, because
right.
A lot of things can look the same, but they're not all real.
Yep. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks.
I appreciate it.
HTTPS.
Look for that S. Mike in La Crosse. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
You were talking about Craigslist, and my son advised me a while back to when you use Craigslist, never put in your email, only your phone number. That way they have to call you. And I've sold a few things that way with no problems. But when I used my email, I was trying to rent an apartment, or I'm a landlord.
Mm-hmm.
And I got two almost identical emails. I'm living in England. I'm doing research. I need an apartment. I will pay you a month's rent up front. And I don't know how this works, but I'm sure it's a scam. I got two just like that.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Probably there are going to be fewer people who are willing to call because, it's more personal, whereas an email is very impersonal and easy to do. So, encourage other people to try it and see how it works.
Yeah, and also on that deal, what they might have been telling you is that they were going to send you a check for more than the amount and asking you to send them cash so they had some U.S. dollars to work with.
Oh yeah, right.
That could be true. One other thing, when consumers find out that there's something that seems fraudulent on someplace like Craigslist, please notify Craigslist so that, they can take that off mm-hmm. because otherwise they have a difficult time knowing, what's real and what's fraud. So
yep.
You'll help everybody else by alerting them that you think this is fraud.
Absolutely. Sure. Thanks, Mike.
I really like Craigslist. I've had good success with it.
Yeah, good. A lot of people have.
Yeah, I think my brother-in-law has bought three or four cars on Craigslist. Everyone's turned out fine, but he's pretty careful about how he does things, and he's always talking to the people in person or on the phone.
Yeah. That's why I like the phone number, and you meet them in person, like in La Crosse, and you make the transaction. Works
yep.
great.
Yep. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. And Don in Barron, Wisconsin. Hi, Don.
Yes, how are you today?
Good.
We just got hit by a tsunami, and I need money sent to me right away.
Well, the check's not in the mail, and it won't be.
Oh, okay. I tell you what I'm calling about. A lot of people, I happen to have a retail business, and a lot of people are talking about buying on the Internet and whatnot, and I just wanted to tip people off. The Internet is not necessarily always the cheapest place. I had a lady the other day bring me in an item she was wanting, and on the Internet it was $49.95, and I sold her the same item for $28. I went to that website and printed out four pages of their products. My prices in the store are less on every single item. You got to realize a lot of these people selling on the Internet are sitting at their kitchen table with a computer and a can of beer. They're not an established business, so I just wanted to have people maybe check locally first before they go to the Internet thinking they're saving money, because it's not always the case.
Well, that's a very good point. Dealing with local merchants has many advantages. One, as Larry mentioned at the beginning of this time period, that you can always go back and deal with a local merchant. That may not be possible when you deal online. You may get a better deal, and you're supporting
the
local business and the local economy. So thanks for bringing that up.
I appreciate that very much. And I do a little online, but I prefer to go right to the local business and do my transactions there, where I know I can go back and talk to that person again if I need to. Janet, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you. It's always nice to be here.
That 800 number for the hotline is 800-422-7000. 7128, 422-7128 for the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Janet Jenkins will be back with us again. I'm pretty sure of that. Coming up tomorrow, oh my goodness, it's Friday already, and that means Garden Talk. And one of my good friends, Melinda Myers of Milwaukee, joins us then. Thank you for listening. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.